talking to Stu the other day just about how wind is different. All right. Welcome to episode 61 of the Chattering Classes. And joining me from South Korea is Sam Pett. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Mai. How you doing?
I'm all right. It's great to hear you. I haven't talked to you for ages. It's pretty exciting.
It's been so long. I'm so happy to get to chat with you again.
Now, Sam is one of the biggest fans of the Chattering Classes, but she's also just very lovely. And she was a fan of our previous podcast, What a Pair of Trousers. And she was always good at promoting our podcast more than we ever did.
So, I always share.
Yes, exactly right. And I am going to start off. I asked you to pick a random number between 1 and 2,500. It's because I have a book of 2,500 questions.
Okay.
And some of them are easy questions and some of them are hard. So.
Oh, no, I'm scared.
You've chosen question 173. And that question is, what is your sanctuary?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Although that sounds like a difficult question, it's actually very easy for me to answer. Yeah. My sanctuary is sofa, blanket, vodka, and book.
Really? I thought you were going to be like watching something, but are you a drunken reader?
Yes.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, especially when you're not supposed to be like day drinking on the sofa. You can kind of sit on the sofa. You've got book. I use my iPad as my like e-reader.
Right.
And like have a sneaky vodka during the day and nap off. I just tend to fall asleep and then wake up again and keep reading the same page four times.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure I've tried to read. I'm sure I've tried to read under the influence and it never worked. It was always the same. Oh, I really like this book. What have I read?
Yeah, it was a good book. What happened? I don't remember.
It was really comforting. I remember that. I found it very nice. Gave me a headache. I have a headache when I think about it. I don't know why.
Right.
Okay, so that's your sanctuary. That's a nice answer.
Thank you.
And my next question is, did you get married?
I did, yes. I did get married to, if anyone knows the podcaster Tommy Royal.
Yeah.
He and I got hitched last year, December, actually.
So you are a fan of podcasts?
Yes. I married a podcaster.
Okay. So from what I could gather, and obviously all that is social media, it just sort of popped up on my social media feed. Oh, by the way, we got married. Was it kind of like was it kind of just let's do this?
And it's much more drawn out than that. We've actually kind of been, it's a complicated story. The shortened version is he heard me talking way back when Strange Times used to be on FUBAR.
Yeah.
Strange Times podcast with David Dent. Oh, I have to mention his name, otherwise I'll be angry.
We love David too. He's another person who's a big supporter of this podcast and other podcasts I've done.
We did a live show and then we had a kind of after party thing.
Oh.
And it was all via Skype.
Right.
And I had never spoken to Tommy Royal. I just knew of him as like podcast god. And I remember him telling the other people, shut the fuck up. I want to hear more of what that girl's got to say.
Right.
And from there, it went, this is about, that was 6 years ago.
Right.
6 years ago now. So, yeah, it just started messaging and then he came out to visit. And yeah, it's just like one of those crazy stories that you would never believe if it was a movie, but actually happened in real life.
I mean, it's very modern. It's all done over podcasting and all of that stuff. So was like, what was it like when he came over to visit after you'd like talked and connected through podcasting?
It was, I visited him first in England, and it was the worst airport experience of my life. I'd forgotten about this. So we'd arranged to meet up in England, and I was at the baggage carousel, and I'm waiting for my bag, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting, and I'm waiting. And I'm like, this is almost an hour now, and my bag hasn't come through yet. So I'm thinking, we've got, because I didn't have a cell phone that worked in the UK, I had no way of getting in touch. So I was like, what if he thinks that I've like chickened out? What if he's thinking that I actually didn't get on the plane at all?
This is like, all just a big con. It's not Sam's not even a woman. She's just some dude who puts his voice through a filter.
Right. I was like, is he going to wait for me?
Oh my God. So stressful.
Yeah, my bag was the last one to come out, and he did wait, which was nice. And then he came over here, which was equally scary because my life is in Korea. I've been here since 2004.
Yeah.
So my whole life is here. I have nothing back in the UK. And I was really hoping that he would fall in love with the country as much as I do.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I'd have to make that choice, like moving back to England.
Right.
How, I don't know how to do that, but fortunately he loves the place and he's having a great time over here. So it all works out.
Yeah, of course.
It's such an awful rom-com, but it's just real life.
All right. By the end of the episode, we need to come up with a title. I'm surely he's come up with a title for a terrible rom-com that is set in the podcasting world.
I'm sure he has.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. There's a lot of stories that I've gone over actually this season, which is a lot of just, when people tell their stories of how they met or how they got together, a lot of it is these weird coincidences and rom-com moments. I mean, Justine and I are fairly similar in that way. Like we met, got together very quickly, but then I'd already planned to move to England. And so I left and we'd only been hanging out for a month and really connecting. And then I was in England for maybe a month by myself. And she said, I got a scholarship to Leeds University, so I'm coming over now. So so there's a lot of stories like that where people are just like, oh well, I don't believe in fate, but lot of things have to happen.
Especially like for me, someone I was perfectly happy on my own, wasn't looking for anything. It just happened.
Can you remember a moment where you realized, like, hang on, like, what's going on? I'm communicating with this person, you know, through podcasts. Oh, you do? Awesome. Do you want to share that, or is it?
No, I can share it.
Right.
This actually, it came up on the Facebook memory thing, and we had decided that this message thing was just like stupid. What we're doing, this is ridiculous. The distance between us, and there is a bit of an age gap. It's not a massive one, but that was part of it. So we decided like, okay, this should stop.
Yeah.
And I went onto the roof of my apartment to have a cigarette, and I was crying. And I'm like, why am I crying? Right. And I thought, oh, fuck, I think I love this guy. So I went back down and said, yeah, yes, we should stop this, but I just want you to know before we do that I think I love you.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is like a really, really bad romantic movie, isn't it?
It's so sick.
Someone started playing a violin, and then it started snowing while you were smoking.
Wow. As the sun was setting.
Yeah, right. And what was his response? Hopefully he said, "Oh, fuck off."
I think he said, "I think I'm about to cry," or something like that.
Yeah, wow. Jesus.
Yeah. It's been a roller coaster, but right. I've loved every minute of it.
Yeah, that sounds great. Well, I'm glad I asked that question.
Fantastic. Oh, Studio Pussy is meowing outside.
That's all right.
I have never done the fucking podcast without my cat meowing outside. No,
I have a cat that's bound to start scratching at the door at some point as well. Oh, what a cool story.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
that's all right. Now, I asked you to record a podcast in the last week was because you made a post on social media last week, right? Mm-hmm. And there was just too much information in there that I felt I was like, what does that mean? I was like, all right, well, I'm going to just ask Sam to be on the show and then I can ask her bit by bit. So,
okay, yeah.
I don't know whether I should just read through your post.
Okay, if you want to, yeah.
And then I can just ask you every time I've got a question for you. Okay.
Okay, go for it, yeah.
So this is what you've got. I am so lucky to be surrounded by people with amazing talent, from music to writing and design. After the time when I was hit and run over by a car. So let's stop there.
Yes.
Tell me more about you being hit and run over by a car.
That was my near-death experience. Innocently, this is when I was in Korea.
Right.
Just happily walking along, beautiful June day. I'm listening to music. I'm walking to the bus stop. And then I heard this car revving its engine, and I just thought, oh, this is just some guys being silly. And then I looked up and I was on the pavement, and this white car kind of came. So how can I explain? It came from from the left-hand side, came up onto the pavement in reverse.
Oh, shit.
And came straight towards me. And to my left was a block of apartments, so I couldn't hide there. To the right of, to the right was the apartments. To the left were parked cars. So I tried to run between the cars and get out of the way, but I didn't make it.
Jesus.
Because the car was going, it's like 70 kilometers per hour in reverse on the pavement. Hit me, and it was like a car sandwich.
Right, yes.
And I was the filling. Jeez. So I got the car that hit me, then trapped me against another car that I was trying to it's hard to explain without visuals. Anyway, I got trapped between the two cars.
Yeah.
And I heard my arms break.
Ugh.
And then I fell down, obviously.
Right, yeah.
And the car had stopped at that point, but I was underneath the car.
Jesus.
And then it went from being in reverse to going forward, and then it ran over me.
Again? Oh, it ran over you. So it hit you, and then it ran over you.
So it hit me, and then it ran over me.
Right.
Yeah. Which messed me up. I had... I was in hospital for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Both arms were in a cast. It was horrendous. The point that I was talking about in the Facebook post is I can't use my left index finger anymore.
Just got
which
mashed.
Restricts me. Yeah. It was bent at the most ridiculous angle. I had splints in it and all sorts. It was horrific. And Well, I'm just lucky. I'm telling it back and I'm remembering it, and I can just like, I can remember sitting at the side of the road and just blood coming everywhere and asking them to call an ambulance and call my school. I don't know why that right, was like, yes, yeah. Can you call my school? Tell them I'm not coming today.
I might be a bit late. So,
yeah, I think I went into a bit of shock at one point.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Right. So how did you find out how that happened? How does a car reverse at 70 kilometers an hour?
She claimed that the car was out of control.
Right.
The police officer that came to the scene said, I've never heard of such a ridiculous thing ever.
No.
And then...
Especially to go backwards and then to go forwards.
Yeah, exactly. If you're stuck in reverse, how can you suddenly go forward again?
Yeah.
Dude. But over here, things are done like a little bit differently. Rather than going, well, I could have taken her to court.
Yeah.
But what they like to do over here is a personal out-of-court settlement.
Right.
Where they pay you, like, shut-up money, basically.
Right, okay. Yeah, so you don't take her to court.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And
like,
obviously, her insurance paid for my hospital stay and everything.
Wow.
So I managed to get a private room and, like, oh, weird thing, like, after surgery, obviously I had surgery, and yeah. Afterwards, morphine is not given, like, by, how to say, you have to pay extra for morphine.
Wow.
The insurance has to pay for morphine after surgery.
Wow, that is a racket, isn't it?
Jeez.
Holy cow, that's like, yeah,
what?
That's classic drug dealing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was totally an eye-opening and most bizarre and weird experience I've ever had.
Okay. So did you get any morphine, or were they just...
Oh, yeah, because her insurance was paying for it.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
I got all the morphine I could.
More, please.
And
yes.
A little bit more.
Right. So you said your right arm still has random spasms.
Yes, it does, because the muscle was became unattached from the bone.
Right.
So they had to reattach it. And sometimes if I'm trying to pick up a glass or something, my arm will just like do like as if I've got a Parkinson's or something like that.
Right.
And it was very random. I never know when it's going to happen or not.
Yes.
So, right. Yeah, it's never, I haven't properly healed physically. Mentally, I've healed from it, but.
How long ago
not
was
physically.
This?
Gosh, if I was in Gyeongju that time, it was, I'm going to say 10 years ago, maybe.
Wow. Jesus. That's quite the story.
Yeah, it's a survival story.
Far out. Getting mashed between cars. Right, so did that change the way you just walked down the street for a while? Or?
Oh, God, yes. I was terrified. Every time I heard brakes squealing or any kind of like clashing metal sound,
yeah, right.
I would be like literally like jumping and like freaking out massively.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So I'm going to move on to the next part, which is I want to try and find what I'm good at.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this come from? This idea that you want to, is it about finding a passion, or are you actually trying to find something that you can do at a higher level?
Well, it's just I have so many talented people, and I always wonder, like, what if somebody had given me a violin when I was 4?
You're right. Yes.
Would I be really good at violin?
Yeah.
Or like, what is it that I can do? And I know I'm a good teacher, but is that all I can be.
Well, the thing
I'm
is,
just searching for something more.
The thing is, you can pick up a violin now, and in like 15 years, you'll be really good at violin.
But because of the car accident, my busted finger won't let me.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That was the point. That's why I mentioned that. Is music going to work? Probably not.
Probably not. I don't know. The drummer from Def Leppard only had one arm.
Oh, good point.
Yeah. You can find out things. I don't know about playing the violin with your teeth, but, you know.
With my teeth.
Yeah, but what I mean is a violin was a bad example, but like it's a lot of time. I do the same. Like if I learn the guitar, started playing at 12. My niece has been learning the guitar for 3 years or something, and she's 13, maybe 4 years, and she's getting good. And I was like, oh, if I did that, then I'd be great now. But again, like I could pick up a guitar now, and I would be good at guitar in like 15 years. But I don't want to do that. I want to be good at it now. I don't want
to. Right. Yes. Yeah. We're too old to have to wait to be good at something.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is clearly not true, but oh no, I can't be bothered learning something to that degree, I guess, at this point. So I guess, you need to find something creative, a creative outlet.
Yeah. I'm thinking about writing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the next question I was going to ask you. You said you'd been published as a poet.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
How did that come about? Way back when?
That was just before I went to university. So I was probably 18. And there was a poetry, national poetry competition.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, what the hell? Yeah, I'll send something in. And it got published in a compilation of teen poetry things. Yeah. So yeah, that was pretty cool.
Have you written any poetry just randomly? Is it something you've done here and there?
I think it was more like a teen thing.
Right.
You know, when you've got the teenage angst.
Yes, teenage angst, yes.
And anger at the world.
Yeah.
That was my inspiration, I think. And so not recently, no.
And I think I think if you read a lot of poetry or you're around a lot of poetry, it's, again, hard to start writing poetry because you know what bad poetry looks like.
Yeah.
You know what good poetry looks like, and you're not going to write good poetry.
Right.
But you know exactly. I mean, teaching year 11 and 12, like I do, like fifth and sixth form, it's the amount of poetry you have to read where you're like, okay, or even just creative writing, it's a slog at times to get through.
Yes.
But when you're young, you don't know what good /bad writing is, so you just write.
Yeah.
So if you can just write as much as you can.
Maybe when I'm on the sofa with the vodka and my book, before I take a nap, I should write something.
Yeah.
See what happens.
See what comes out, yeah. Or immediately on waking up, start writing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I, who was it? I think it was like, I don't know, Billy Connolly started drawing in his old age, he said. He just randomly just happened upon and just found some art supplies and just started drawing. And I don't know if he's a good artist or not, but one of the things he said was, I spent like when he was on tour, maybe 4 or 5 weeks, he would draw every night. And when he got home, he showed his wife and he said, I don't need you to tell me if these are good because they're not. I just need you to tell me if you think they're getting better. And I thought that was a really good way to look at any kind of artistic endeavor that you might want to do is, it's not going to be good when you start out, but if it's getting better, then what if it just keeps getting better?
Right. That's a good point. And if you're doing it just for your own enjoyment, you don't have to share it to anyone else. You just enjoy the time spent doing it, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, and you sort of take away, I guess, the pressure. The pressure is always going to come when you have to show it, or you feel like you're going to show it to someone. But yay. I mean, I think that's what good artists do, right? They write and create way more than anyone ever sees. They just,
that's true.
Yeah, they just
and get rejected way more than they get published.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, the rejection, and that was the thing, because that was another thing you put in the post, was that you need something, but you're scared of failing, which is, again, seems to be a topic I've come across in the last few episodes of recording.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, I have the same thing. I never really pursued anything like artistic or creative. Even though I enjoyed drama, I didn't like the performance part of it. I liked the creation of it, but I didn't like actually presenting it to people and being judged, if that makes sense, which is kind of why I like hanging out
that
with my
totally
kids
makes
and
sense.
Pissing around with my kids and just making up, you know, characters and whatever. That's way more fun. But yeah, the judgment can be the hard part, right?
Well, kids are the harshest judges. So.
Yeah. But
kids
again,
don't hold back.
Yeah, but you can shrug them. Or what do they know? Yeah, that's true. I probably try really hard to make them laugh too, or I'm really happy if I make them laugh. But I'm actually happier if I do something silly or go into a character and they go with me. That makes me really happy. If they start doing silly things and joining in, that's kind of what happens in our household from time to time. And that's a really good part of the kids. Rather than, I've got a 12-year-old, she often just will look at me now and just be like,
roll her eyeballs. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, seriously, Dad?
Yeah. So you said you're scared of failing too. So is that going to prevent you? Is that often a blocker to prevent you from starting things?
I don't know. I haven't really, it's so difficult. I've had a really crazy year with all the nonsense of the pandemic that we're not going to talk about.
sorry. I know you've lived in South Korea for nearly 17 years now, but that was the most British thing I've heard you say. This nonsense of the global pandemic. No, you can talk about it. I just, yeah.
I had a really bad year, and I'm just coming out of that bad year, and I'm trying, and that's just what made me like, I feel like I'm ready to tackle something new.
Right. So when you say
I'm ready to take it on.
A bad year, like beyond the nonsense of the pandemic, you mean?
I don't even know how it happened. Just randomly walking to the bus stop with my coworker one night after work, I had a panic attack.
Uh-huh.
Never had one before, out of the blue. And anxiety just like overcame me. There was reasons. I do know reasons, but I'm not going to go into it.
That's okay.
But I couldn't. There was a point where it was almost impossible for me to leave my house.
Right.
And that didn't help with the pandemic that we didn't talk about, because we weren't allowed to leave our house anyway.
Right. The panic attacks and stuff, that's what it manifested itself. So was it exacerbated by the pandemic, or did you actually find a relief?
It was a good excuse because I didn't have to go out.
Yeah, right.
I'm not allowed to go out. So, hey, I don't want to go out. That's okay, because I'm not allowed to. I'm coming through that now. I went to see a head doctor, and she's, like, this year we started to slowly reduce the medication. It took a while to find meds that were helping to settle me down.
Yeah.
And that's working out for me now. So that's why I'm starting to feel more positive and what can I do?
Right.
Like, I'm ready to move on after being stagnant for a year. And
yeah, like, that's a good word, isn't it? It's kind of a dangerous thing to be, isn't it? To be stagnant in yourself.
Yeah. I've made a point recently of reaching out to people and saying, I know I've been absent for the last year, but I'm always thinking of you. Like, you know, I did the pinch punch thing.
Yes.
Which is my way of saying hello.
Yeah. It's like a hug. That's how I see it. So every first of the month, Sam sends out a message that just says pinch punch, no returns. And do you just sit up till 12:01? Has it become that much of a habit?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of people have mentioned that. Oh, I tried to get her this time, but she got in before me somehow.
Yeah. I do. I literally sit there watching the clock. And then I get Korea, Australia, and New Zealand.
Right.
Because we're on similar timelines.
Yeah.
And then I've been given a rule that I'm not allowed to get England until my friend Andy Goodall is awake.
Right. Okay.
To give him a chance.
Well, see, the good thing for you is in always beating people to the pinch and the punch, so to speak, is that if they're anything like me, on the 1st of January, they're like, oh, got me again. I'll get it next time. And then I forget. I just, oh, it's a month later.
Right.
So every first of the month, I'm like, oh, God damn it. But it is a way of, like just saying, hello, I'm still here.
And it's not, I don't have it on a list. I literally go through my friends one by one.
Yeah.
And send it to them. It's not like a pre
no it's not you don't just click
people.
One button and it all goes through.
Right. Sit there and individually send it to each person.
So what you were saying before is that you were stagnant before and now you're feeling Mm-mm. feeling much better or more positive and willing to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 6 days ago you posted this. So have you thought of anything that you might, or have you had any ideas in that regard?
I had a thought about writing life through the eyes of Studio Pussy.
Right.
Because he is very scheming.
Right. You're talking about your cat before anyone gets too overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
Yes. We're not coming up with bad rom-com titles.
No,
that's a terrible rom-com title. But through the eyes of your cat. And what?
Like from the day where he made me adopt him.
Right.
Like
okay.
How scheming he was.
So how did he make you adopt him?
By being really cute and small and cold.
So just from the street or on the
street?
Yeah,
literally off the street. And now he's the most annoying creature I've ever had. And I don't think I'll ever have another cat again.
Oh, he was so he's not the, you know, he was so special. I don't think I could have another cat. He's the opposite.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He's got character.
Right.
Let's put it that way. He's got a definite personality.
So when you found him, was he, how old do you reckon he was?
If you would have guessed. A couple of months,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was winter and he was hanging around outside the restaurant that I was in.
Yeah.
And he was very friendly at that time, like came up to me and was being really cute. And I thought, oh, street cats aren't usually this friendly.
Yeah.
So I looked around the area for like lost cat wanted posters or something. And there was nothing there. I looked around to try and find mummy cat or his like find his litter or something, and nothing there. So I took this cute little thing home, and then it grew into a ferocious tiger.
Just demanding.
Yep.
Oh, dear.
Yep.
That's what they do. That's how they get you in.
Yep.
And then, so you've got your, like I said, you've got a bit of a positive start to the year.
Yes.
After the nonsense dies down, as hopefully it does, are you looking, well, what are you looking forward to then? Apart from, like, you've got this idea of wanting to do something creative, what's something that you're looking forward to?
I'm actually starting a new job.
Oh, you're starting a new job?
Yeah. In March.
So you were just teaching.
I'll still be teaching, but just at a different school with a different program. It's more innovative, and so I'm very much looking forward to starting the new job.
So it's always good to have something to look forward to, I think.
Yes.
Whatever that may be.
Like, new job. You know, they say that change is as good as a rest.
Yeah.
I'm really hoping that, I'm really looking forward to starting the new job.
Yeah. March is
meeting some new people.
Good time to start a new job too, March, like end of winter.
Yeah, in Korea, that's the start of the new year, school year. Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's always confusing. Trying to explain to my children how different countries have different school years is just, it melts their brains. But they're like, what do you mean?
Right.
They only have 2 weeks at Christmas. What is that? That doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how it works. All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me again. I have a feeling if all this goes well, recording style, I might catch up with you again, maybe later in the season. And do a check-in.
Because I have things that I would like to ask you. So,
well, that's a good idea. All right. Well, let's do that. Let's organize a return leg where you do question asking.
I get to quiz you for a time. Yeah,
that's all good. All right. Thanks, Sam.
You're very welcome. It's been fun.
And that's it.